What's going on with dance and stuff? What's happening with dance and things? What's going on? What's happening? What's going on with dance and stuff?
Okay, I am recording now.
Me too. Oh, wow. Well, this will be a short one because I am exhausted.
Yeah.
It's the end of the semester.
It is.
And it is really, you know, climbing through a bunch of tires and then grabbing onto the rope and swinging over the pond into the whatever next jump off a trampoline onto a fence with cats all over it.
These are very like summertime camp analogies.
I have this nice summer memory of two summers ago when Parker and I were in the pool and I'd gotten her to go out into the pool at night and I was like, look at that star. And we were looking at the star and then she's like, it's a plane. And we laughed and laughed. Oh God. I did it. I was watching MSNBC. I just couldn't help myself.
And what happened? What happened to you?
She showed, Rachel showed, the last 4 months of the COVID increase.
Beautiful.
Where you watch the American map, like dotted with red, more red, and then more red, and then just blood red all over it.
Wow.
You know, doctors talking about adherence fatigue and, and that these next 3 months are just going to be brutal. And it feels, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do actually. I've been feeling really bummed out the last several days. And, you know, I've been spending time kind of trying to pull myself out or figure out why. And, you know, I do like Decembers as generally, you know, generally I do like December. It's my birthday month. I like the holidays. I like the winter. I like cozy time. I like the stars. I like the stars. I do like I like the Fifth Avenue Christmas star. I like twinkly lights on trees. I love all that stuff. Uh-huh. But none of that stuff exists. I mean, it does in a way, but like it's not in my personal experience right now. Though,
well, don't they have it all? They must on Fifth Avenue have stars.
Yeah, I was thinking I should make a trip there to just walk and look in the windows and see lights.
Get those 1997 Lands End snow pants on, honey. And
but I have to say, just right now, getting on the train feels really like, feels very treacherous.
Don't.
I mean, I do, but like an extra trip just to go look at Christmas lights seems unnecessary.
No. Remember when you were going to take a flight and we were doing an Insta Live and someone said that flight will be your hearse?
And it wasn't. I still haven't had COVID. It's crazy.
I mean, thank God that we know of. I mean, you could have gotten it early on and been asymptomatic.
But I keep having to get tests and I never have it.
Thank God. And I just, yeah, you can't get on. Don't, I mean, I don't know. Try to not get on the subway.
People are misbehaving. I know you would not like it. There are people with the mask below the nose, no mask at all. It's, I know I said it
last week's episode. And
it's not good. It's getting worse because it's getting so cold outside.
I'm like, even more so to have a mask on. Like,
I know, but it's like this is the time people, the people who were unmasked outside are now making their way down into the subways.
Right. You had talked about the homeless population in New York.
And beyond. I know. It's not good.
You know, one has this kind of one. I have this always sort of ridiculous hope or vision of New York City as this bastion of somewhere else. where the whole city is a kind of neighborhood, is a sort of town. Where people care about each other. And because I did get to have some of that direct experience, and I have had that direct experience otherwise I wouldn't have kept living there since literally 1997. But that is hard to hear. I mean, I am coming back because Parker's coming back. And so we'll do I think that there's tests that are available earlier than the 2-week quarantine now.
What?
So she'll take a flight and then, but I think that I think you can get tested maybe 7 days now or something after.
Oh, you're going to come to New York and then go back to Parker's?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't believe it. I think you should cut it out.
I don't know. I think being in Brooklyn and being in my neighborhood is fine, and how I lived my life pretty much anyway, except if I was going to therapy or finally got rid of that P.O. box.
You did.
I did. I did that last
night. How are you going to get those checks for 40 cents?
Oh, they come to Parker's. All my mail comes here. My mail comes here. Everything's here.
Wow, I think you should move back to New York now.
and do what? And see people?
Yeah, see human beings.
That's not how it works.
I mean, it is. I see people. Even right. if I'm not, having meaningful interactions on a regular basis, I do see human beings.
But imagine seeing nothing except trees.
It's not great.
I need this to be over. As everyone does. It just boggles the mind, doesn't it? You know, that people are it's not real, it's a hoax. Donald Trump won the election. I mean, the way it feels, the upside down, the ridiculous deceit to whatever lies they need to tell themselves to perpetuate these fantasies and fantastical thinking feels really wild in this extra special way.
Indeed.
The Supreme Court, I don't know if you saw this, was because the Trump campaign was trying to take it all the way there. And I'm sure he was hoping that Amy Clowney Butthole and Brett Rape Face were going to be oh, sure, we'll bring it in. But they were no, honey. No.
He doesn't have anyone on his side, and yet... Well,
he has this psychotic base and, these Republicans. And these Republicans who literally we pay for with our tax dollars, who are we'll stand by you. You know, Mitch McConnell's not, back down. Mitch McConnell's still,
so strange.
Let's... With his, corpse hands.
I don't understand. I don't...
Rudy Giuliani to die.
I mean, he's so fascinating.
Did you see those videos of him, blowing his nose into a napkin and then wiping his whole face with it and then, rubbing his hand on that woman's arm? Ugh. No. Oh, honey. He's sitting next to this woman who's sleeveless and he's, dabbing his, sweating head because he's burning up with the COVID.
Oh, right.
And he, wipes his nose and face and everything. And then he takes his hand and just rubs it down her arm
a towel. So he has COVID. Then does that mean that crazy blonde lady in Michigan has COVID?
Maybe she gave it to him. Who knows? She's so crazy. I don't know that she would know that she had COVID.
Absolutely true.
Do you know what I mean? She has, certified. Charges against her.
For what?
She's like, I can't remember, but she's got a record.
She's nuts.
Honey, can you imagine my star witness? And she's like,
oh my God.
I mean, it's...
I mean, remember when Kimberly Guilfoyle was up at that podium screaming, and I just thought, wow, it can't get more absurd than this. And now, you know, it's on a regular basis been more absurd than that. Like, now that seems like politically normal in a way.
Yes, Kimberly Guilfoyle was really resplendent. That was absolutely the performance I would wanted to have given at the RNC.
You really should give that performance.
She's amazing. And she's from the Fox Channel.
Is she?
Isn't she?
I don't know. She looks like a Fox Channel person, but I don't know.
So I watched Bombshell, and they very quickly will put someone's name under whoever the actor is. And I thought Kimberly Guilfoyle is a character who goes around passing out these t-shirts that say I'm with Ailes or whatever.
I don't know.
Did you see Bombshell?
I did. It was a real
letdown.
No, it was like a Madame Tussauds, you know.
So I came for the acting.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wasn't there for the parts where it was just done really badly.
It looked like a cheap movie with incredible makeup.
And you're like, you had this cast and this story, and this is what you did.
Margot Robbie was really good.
So was Nicole Kidman and Charlize Theron. Doing that voice was
incredible.
Her Megyn Kelly back of the throat
my God
thing was amazing.
It was
uncanny. You know who was incredible?
How they turned her into Megyn Kelly.
Kate McKinnon?
Yeah.
She was
the lesbian news lady at Fox.
She kind of really slayed it for me in the movie. The naturalism, the kind of
I have a question.
Go for it, please.
Have you ever believed Jonathan Lithgow?
That is such a wonderful question. Because it has to get unpacked through the lens of acting, which I know you don't
theater.
Like.
It's so theater.
He is. But the actress in me is incredible. I was very much he's wonderful. I was he's incredible.
Look, I have a sense that he is wonderful, but I think
he's a really great actor.
I've never for a moment watched him and gotten lost in the character. Cause I'm always that's Jonathan Lithgow. It's Jonathan Lithgow in makeup. It's Jonathan Lithgow doing an impersonation.
Sure. Hot take, and I hope Jeffrey Self doesn't it's not like she listens to this podcast. But that's how I feel about
Bernadette Peters.
No, I'm obsessed with Bernadette Peters, and we don't talk about her in terms of acting anyway. We talk about her in terms of performance art. That is how I feel about Baby Boom.
Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm literally mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Annie Hall, I was work. But outside of that, I'm
wait, what was the movie where she gets murdered at the end by Richard Gere?
Oh, I made you watch that movie. And she does not get murdered by Richard Gere. You think she's going to get murdered by Richard Gere, but it's not. She gets married.
Oh, Looking for Mr. Goodbar.
Yeah, looking with the most incredible soundtrack, the Commodores. I mean, my God, that movie. I mean, I don't know who's doing casual hookups right now in the COVID, but if you ever want to if you ever feel you're doing too many casual hookups, watch Looking for Mr. Goodbar, and that'll take you out of casual hookups for quite a while.
Yeah.
I had nightmares about that movie. I just thought of it this past week. She was incredible in it. It's something changed. Do you know what I mean?
Like, well, she became too much Diane Keaton. You know, like, she became too much of, like, all of the mannerisms. And it stopped being, like, it stopped being an experiment for her. Do you know what I mean? Like, she was like, oh, this is who I am as an actress.
I'm like, well, that's who you are. But it's, and it doesn't have the kind of, like, strange plasticity of, like, of Meryl Streep or Huppert or...
Right.
I mean, God, even to talk about those two people together, it's so different. But Looking for Mr. Goodbar is truly one of the most terrifying movies I've ever seen. It's based on a true story. The woman who wrote the book that it's based on also wrote an incredible book called August, which is about when therapists leave New York in August. Oh. It's a really good book.
Oh, well, okay, two things.
They both are. Yeah, yeah, two things, please. Anything. I mean, this is how we'll take our mind off of like this sort of psychotic death country led by like this nightmare terrorist named Donald Trump making it happen. I can't believe that we haven't had another stimulus check. I can't, like, I just, my mind is reeling. I'm like, what are they doing? What
I know,
are you all
I was
doing?
Talking to Harriet
How dare
the
you?
Other day, and I just paid tuition for next semester, and I was like, "Wow, I'm like so broke." And she was like, "We haven't been getting like any stimulus money from like our unemployment." Or I was like, "Oh, right." Anyways,
unlike all of our other like. Countries that we could be like semi equivocal to. It's
well,
this literally is, as Bernie Sanders said, socialism for the rich.
Truly. Wow. I was thinking about Looking for Mr. Goodbar and I thought, God, I love like getting in bed in a hotel room or my mom's house and like turning on the television that actually has like cable television and then like a movie starts on HBO and and you see the like 20th Century Fox or Paramount or I love that or what are some of the other good ones? Miramax,
MGM, I mean the
with the lion. Yeah, that's a good one. But I that feeling of
what about the lamp that bounces around for Pixar?
I don't care that much about that.
What about the star that goes over the Aurora's castle for Disney?
I do care more about that.
What about the little boy fishing in the clouds for DreamWorks? I feel like that'd be your favorite.
It's not, but I do, you know, it's a very Forrest Gump kind of feeling.
Ew. How dare you bring that into like something I liked having a memory about.
Remember Haley Joel Osment? In Forrest
Is he Gump. In Forrest Gump?
Yeah, he plays the tiniest little baby Forrest at the end.
Okay, I don't want to talk about that movie, but...
No, we don't need to.
What's your favorite out of all of those? Was that one of your questions?
I'm trying to... Yeah, if we're going through them, I'm trying to think, like, what's the most comforting, exciting, thrilling one? What's the one with, like, the planet and rings? What's that one? Universal.
Yes, but honey, what about TriStar?
TriStar with the Pegasus.
I mean, honey.
I maybe that's it. The Pegasus flying towards.
I kind of, that was my guess for you.
I love.
That would be yours.
I love.
You
know, like the
really
sad,
is?
Like a strand with the like, or breaking glass.
What? A strand with breaking glass?
You know there's the strand.
Oh, strand. Sure. And like Magnolia Pictures.
Exactly.
Yeah, where oof.
There's like something glass, shattered glass, breaking glass productions. It's always like a low budget indie gay movie.
I So when I think what's my favorite one, MGM, of course, is the one that pops up.
That is so old.
Well, because I'm an old golden era age Hollywood actress from MGM. Like, we know that, like, I'm literally like Betty Davis, just incarnated here. But it's like this, you know, I mean, MGM doesn't even exist anymore. But it's also like they did my favorite, you know, one of my favorite movies ever in America, which is Showgirls. And I've also done, you know, classics that I love. But the one that haunts me, like, I see them, they happen at the same time. I see MGM and Paramount at the same time. And it's partly because those were the key players of, like, well, who was at Paramount and who was at MGM, and
right,
how they were fought over back in the day. And I think that's why I'm haunted by it from my past life.
What is
Fox, honey. Fox.
I like
That's the one with the little boy fishing in the clouds.
Yeah. Also, wait. Take it back a little. Let's see. Is there one that starts with a C?
There's this one. Da 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 da.
Oh, heaven.
I think that's TriStar.
What's that? Oh, I love that.
I think that's TriStar.
Yeah. What's Miramax is pretty chic, and they did a lot of like chic movies in the 90s.
It's just like the lights of New York City coming on, you know?
And then it turns into Miramax.
Uh-huh.
I love it.
It's very so like good. HBO.
I love.
Yeah. I mean, the TV turning on with HBO is still iconic.
It's really good
work. Yeah, absolutely.
All of that stuff makes me so happy. Even the like, gong, Netflix, you know, it's good.
Oh, Netflix does not make me happy. I can absolutely tell you that.
Just like a start of Netflix and you hear that gong, you're like, wow, I'm doing something.
It spooks me out for some reason. Netflix depresses me. I don't know why. I couldn't tell you. It's depressing.
It's cheap generally, but
yeah.
They do show the Great British.
My God, this and this season, wow, just the worst. 2020 giving you the worst.
So good, you know?
Yes, and bless young Peter, whatever his name is, Peter, for winning. That was all really great, and all of that stuff looked, you know, great, whatever.
Peter, carrot eater or something. He's so orange.
No, he's not.
He looks like he's been rubbing his eyes with beets, you know?
Well, I do. I mean, I love that when people have some sort of strange chameleon, you know, skin change. As long as it's not painful like my eczema, that was painful.
You know how at the end of Baking Show, like when it gets like nostalgic or sad, they just take the theme song and they like thin it out and slow it down. It's like, sa, 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 sa,
yeah,
sa, sa, sa. And it's so sad and you cry. I love it. I love that.
Let me tell you what I didn't cry in this year.
Oh, I did.
The British Baking Show.
Every episode I cried.
Oh my God, I didn't shed a single tear. I saw this old movie called The Apartment with Shirley MacLaine and Jack Lemmon.
I've actually seen that movie.
I did cry at the end of that. Like, and I was surprised. Like, I kind of burst into tears, and it was one of those cries where I was like, I know I'm not crying about this movie. Like,
something else.
The emotion was too strong. Well, I think, you know, it can be days of feeling this sense of just incredible despair.
I know.
And just a sense of the emptiness of it all. Like, it's difficult. It's very difficult in terms of wanting to be a part of the world and then the world behaving in a way that isn't about taking care of each other. It's really difficult. And
I was in some state of despair leading into the weekend, and so I made a plan to see Stuart, and I went to his house and we ate hamburgers and made a film for Beth Gill's birthday. And
then, does she know that?
Yes, her birthday's passed.
Okay, work.
Beth just turned 40 years old, as I will be.
Amazing.
In a week, my God.
In 1 week?
In a week.
December. Do you want me to say it?
I mean, I thought that's what you were going to do.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it. It is December 16th. 15th.
Mm-mm.
16th?
Mm-mm.
17th.
Yeah, but I'm not
I
mad.
Nailed
I
it.
I don't remember anyone's birthday, so I don't care.
December 17th.
I know that you're February 1.
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to say 1 or 3, but I guess I got it on the first guess.
Well, either they're, you know, they're all like, it would have to be like 1, 3, 7, 9, 13. Like it would have to be like some spooky number, yeah. You know.
I found out tonight that one of my, you know, favorite classmates has the same birthday as me.
Oh, really?
Yes. Was wonderful.
Oh, really? That's a super Ryan Walker page.
And it was this woman's son who I've done.
Oh, really? Oh, that's your partner.
Yeah, the one I've done collabs with.
I love your collabs. Let me tell you what. This piece that you made.
using podcast as source material.
You'll have to post part of it on our dance and stuff. Or the whole thing I think you can do now is like some movie or whatever. It was so... Oh, I really laughed.
Isn't that incredible that we like made a joke about what I should do for school and then I could not move past it? And I was like, I guess I'll do something with that.
Well, do you know what jokes are?
Yeah, exactly.
Conceptual art.
Truly.
I mean, conceptual arts are jokes. It's literally like, what if...
Totally. We can't do it again. But I literally was like, it was such a confluence of like everything like... coming together. I mean, we were literally making it, that costume, not for the purpose of that film. And I was like, how insane is this?
Perfect. I did love the costume. Really great.
Yeah,
costume. I would like one in shiny, wet black that looks like an oil slick.
Gorgeous.
Don't you think I'd look great in that?
You could wear it to school with the cap and everything.
Absolutely. I want to, I need to come out of like a shiny black liquid in a shiny black liquid outfit
and then like skate and scrape yourself all over that squash wall and like leave black behind on it. That'd be good.
Which squash wall?
The one I was roller skating around.
Oh yeah, where was that?
You know that little park that's like
on Houston?
Mm-mm. It's one block to the north of Abrin's, like on that street where you'd never go near the police.
Yes.
Yeah. And they have freshly renovated squash. I do everything. All my projects happen in those squash courts. Like that photo shoot that we did with Jeremy for the first Guggenheim show where Harriet and I look amazing in our jumpsuits against that wall.
Right.
Those were in the squash court. It's all squash court.
Squash court, squash court.
But anyways, the second thing I was going to say is that
during
my attempt to cheer myself at Stuart's house with hamburgers, we watched two episodes of The Undoing. And it is what a peculiar show, but
it is one long SVU episode.
I am stunned by the art direction and Nicole Kidman's wardrobe. And I wonder if she was insistent on wearing the clothes she's wearing, because they have nothing to do with what anyone else is wearing.
The only thing I think I really love that has come out of The Undoing is, it was this queen did this Instagram post where she sang each of Nicole Kidman's coats as a Stephen Sondheim song.
Yes.
So it began with Into the Woods with that like crazy green velvet coat she wears.
She only wears green coat.
No, she wears like the capelet thing when they're in the car and the queen sings, leave you, how could I leave you? It's really
so crazy.
It really was that That queen really, I mean, nailed it.
I just nailed can't. This like floor length green burnout velvet coat with a shawl hood that is truly like out of Game of Thrones or like a Renaissance fair. I'm like,
ooh. And who, here is the queen who I'm suggesting everyone go check it out. It's Ryan O'Connor, 1981. And this Sondheim, the coats from The Undoing as Undoing. Oh my God. The coats from The Undoing as Sondheim songs now has 42,000 views.
Good for you, Ryan.
It's Ryan. Thank you. Well, here's the thing. Because I finished the show and
I didn't, but I got spoilers on Fresh Air with Terry Gross and Hugh Grant, so I don't care.
Well, there's kind of no reason to watch it when you know it's not Nicole Kidman and when it just is what you think it is.
On what planet could it have been Nicole Kidman?
In the planet that I wanted the show to be, and also the planet where the show is called The Undoing. Which
also, like, her in her therapy sessions as a therapist, I was like, what are you doing?
Can you imagine?
I was like, you literally had such good therapy on Big Little Lies. And like, why didn't you just like learn from that actress?
Oh my God. It's also one of the more misogynist shows I've seen in a while. The relentless smashing it, that beautiful girl who has to like be naked the whole time.
In every scene.
They show her getting her face smashed in at least once, if not two to three times in all of the episodes.
Ugh.
And like you watch it over and over and over again and you're like, what? And then Hugh Grant's acting in the last episode where he is like doing, I'm crazy, is so terrible. Oh, wow.
I want to see that.
You should just watch the last episode. His acting is...
how many episodes is it?
You're like, dial it back, queen. It's six, so it feels like 16. And it's really... It's just one long SVU episode. I mean, it's made by the guy who did that. Directed by... what is her name?
Mariska Hargitay. I have gone into the New York Doctors Urgent Care twice in the last few days for COVID tests.
Why? Oh, okay.
Because of the I'm working at the Joyce this week, and I needed a COVID test result to land within a certain window. And so I got one on Saturday, but the result came back too fast. It came back in 24 hours. So then I went back again on Monday morning. But at this New York Doctors Urgent Care, they play forensic shows on the television while you sit and wait. And it's so wonderful. There's subtitles. I never see stuff like that, but it's nice to read the words that they're saying.
Forensic shows like Law and Order SVU.
Yeah. Like the, like one of them with Mandy Patinkin. I don't know which one he's on, but
honey, let me tell you what, for queens who are like, I've got to watch some real campy, what have you. And so I'm going to watch The Undoing. Let me save you all some time and just watch the, like, it's a Criminal Intent or it's an SVU with Isabelle Huppert and Sharon Stone. Watch that. Because it's only, like, going to be 50 minutes of your life. And
famous people make appearances on these things.
It's directed better. I remember the woman who, that's Undoing is directed by Susan Beer, who did the heinous Bird Box. She's a Danish director. And, like... The misogyny on this show is just psychotic to me. I like
You know what's weird? You can tell that, like, I really thought, like, a British person has done the art direction on this, but Danish, that kind of makes sense.
Do you know what I mean? She's like, I think there's just really big curtains.
And oh, totally.
Purple she also walls. Wears curtains.
She wears full curtains.
She wears full curtains, full brocade, what have you.
She had a beautiful pleated dress at the benefit party.
Loved that dress. Absolutely. Yeah. Also, like, big thumbs up for the woman who says that she's waiting in line in the bathroom in the party, at the benefit party. I think she was really one of my favorite
parts. I don't even remember that.
It's incredible. Nicole Kidman just comes to this bathroom and she's like, yeah, I'm waiting. And she gives that face of like, I'm waiting.
Oh, well, the mothers and at the school are like such New York theater actresses.
Oh, totally. Like friends. Maria Dizia. I've done so many workshops with her. She's so incredible. Did you ever see Martha, Marry Me, Marlene?
No.
Read.
I don't know what that is.
Read.
Ugh, Jack.
You're really going to love it.
It's a movie?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. It is one of the more nail-bitery thrillers I think I've seen in, I can't even remember. And it's, it's about a girl who tries to leave a cult. And
who's the girl?
I'm looking up the film right now. Remember Nothing how we were recording last?
Nothing is everything.
Martha Marcy May Marlene. I think it's because she's been all of those. Elizabeth Olsen.
Oh, yeah.
After several years of living with a cult, Martha, Elizabeth Olsen, finally escapes and calls her estranged sister Lucy, played by Sarah Paulson.
There you go. Wow, what a movie already.
And Hugh Dancy's in it.
Ugh.
And I can't... It was made in 2011, which is crazy. That is so long ago.
The old it does.
And I really can't recommend this movie enough.
Okay.
Please, please watch it.
Okay, I'll watch it after the 18th.
What?
I just have a lot of work. A lot of school stuff.
I totally get it.
Nothing is everything. I can't get that out of my head.
Nothing is everything. Brady Corbett is in it, who I'm pretty sure is in Melancholia.
As? A caterer?
I think he's the guy that she pushes down on the golf course. I think she pushes him down in the sand pit and has sex with him. I think
was exactly what I was like. That's like the only other man in the movie, because there's just like Alexander Peter Skarsgård. Oh, I stood up and got so dizzy.
I love it.
I'm getting a charger. I'm going to sit here upright so I don't get dizzy again. I bought recently these,
these
charcoal sticks to put in my water to purify water. And it's really nice looking. Anyways, that's the whole story about the charcoal sticks.
It was really fascinating, I have to tell you.
I feel like it's something you would like to do, just sticks, charcoal sticks in your water.
Absolutely. This guy was, what's charcoal sticks? I also saw this incense I really liked, which is just black leaves. It comes in a box and it's like these perfect black leaves, and then you just set them on fire.
Wow.
Christmas.
Oh, I have
here
a bad,
again.
Bad news, and I'm sorry, apologize in advance in case Nightlight Bright Light is ever revived, but I was organizing in the studio the other day and I accidentally broke the Nightlight Bright Light mirror.
Where did I even have that mirror from?
Jeremy probably bought it on Amazon or something. It's
No, I literally think it was from my apartment.
Really? It was just like a cheapo plastic backed mirror.
Well, look, you know, It's a great piece, ladies and gentlemen. Another, you can go to Vimeo and watch it. And
if you revive that piece, you're going to have to give Jack money for a new mirror. It's probably at least $14 on Amazon. So
thank you. There is something really exciting coming up that is only for our Patreon members right now, which is as you may or may not have known. There's an incredible video shot just as COVID was really hitting, called In the Closet, that Jeremy shot with me in our apartment. Well, part two is out, and it is with Reed. And I laughed so hard.
You did?
Watching it today. I really did.
What
I
was laughed funny to you? Because, so you know, it's hard because it was me, so it made me a little, you know, anxious.
A lot of things were funny to me, and I don't want to give too many spoilers because there's so little for people to look forward to that I want people to have something to look forward to. But what I will mention, because I mentioned it earlier in the podcast, was you with your snow pants from 1997. Uh-huh. And just the whole interaction with them really, really got me. There was also things that Jeremy put in that really made me laugh. Like
really good.
The James Whiteside head appearance. The, like, you know, just the various things that Jeremy does that are so really perfect.
And, I know, because it, like, the making of that video was not funny. It was so hot in my apartment and we couldn't have the AC on because of sound, and I was trying on all this wool stuff and it was
and
really...
And then, you know, Jeremy made it work. It's called editing and the magic of post-production.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where, like, I tried to generate some kind of, like, energy for the camera, but I really just should have leaned into my natural state, which is casual, as you know, so...
Well, no, you just do great. It's very you. I mean, I love that random, you know, you tell like a random story that no one will know at all about Stuart. And like that, it's the randomness of it, the weird, it's kind of like what I want all scripts to be. I don't want to like know everything and have everyone tell me literally every last detail.
Oh, wasn't it amazing when he put up that picture of the wet dog and it really did look exactly like...
Don't give any more spoilers to the show.
The show.
So Patreon members, it is available for you now and will be available for other people later. But thank you to our Patreon patrons. And this is a special pre-gift for the holidays. And your holiday gift will be that we will try to keep making this.
Did you watch
whatever this is?
James, did you watch James and Bella do Nutcracker?
I haven't watched it yet.
You must.
Well, that's what, aren't you and I supposed to watch it? And
oh, that's right.
On it?
That's correct. We're going to do that. I mean,
right.
I'm
saving
it
so that it can be in real time. So you're going to have to act now.
Okay, great.
See,
great. I'll just
watched
like
it.
I'll not watch it for 2 days and I'll forget it.
It's true. I do think you can have spontaneity that way.
Yeah, especially with you there. I can, I can respond. I can respond to you.
Yeah, well, you can respond to the piece as I'm responding to the piece responding to you.
But I did a group FaceTime with Bella and James after the debut of that video. And
just to cry to them and tell them how much you love them.
Yeah, and laugh and catch up. And
is Bella in the city right now?
She is.
Bella in the city. Ugh, who's going to make that show? You know what show I hope I get cast on is...
the next season of Emily in Paris?
No. Unless I get to play the French boss. Like,
yeah.
If they're like... Whatever her name is, if they're like, Madame Blanc, we'll see you now. And she goes in and it's me.
And you're like,
and she's
hi.
Like, oh, you look different. And I'm like, bonjour, Emily. So what have you got for me today? And she's like, are you the same person? I am the very same person you were working with last year.
That was good.
Now, please, Emily, show me the storyboards. No, I want to be on Gossip Girl as, like, some horrible teacher who's, like, just awful.
Don't you want to be on 90210 with Elizabeth Berkley? Oh, no, what's that show called?
Honey.
Saved by the Bell.
And, honey, I don't want to be on that show because of Elizabeth Berkley, although I love Elizabeth Berkley.
Oh, I know you want to be on. I want to know about that show.
I want to be on that show from Mario Lopez. Oh, whoa.
So
wow.
Cute. So cute.
Take my breath away. But like, don't, COVID. Do you know what I mean? Jesus.
Wow.
Oh, God. Fuck.
How has it not killed any of these most evil people?
Because they have access to, like, literally COVID plasma. You know,
it's
I mean,
true.
The the best treatment is really injecting people with this, you know, plasma that has the COVID antibodies in it. And as if Rudy Giuliani isn't like, feed me a baby, you know, he's like, so it is psychotic that like basically skeleton, like nightmare night walkers, like conservative zombies continue to roam the earth. But it proves my point, which is that narcissists are hard to die.
They are hard to die. Indeed. Very, very hard to die.
Hard to die.
Terribly hard to die.
They are hard to die. They do not want to give up. And it's so much about like power and they're just, you know, world rapers. It's, they just can't bear the idea of not being here, being evil. So, and, you know, maybe they know that like what awaits them is just like the eternal flames of hell. Though that probably doesn't exist.
Jack, what's a Christmas song you love?
Probably my favorite Christmas song is Hark to the Bells, because it's
what's
scary.
Hark to the Bells?
Hark to the Bells, dun 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 dun.
That's called
dun,
Carol
dun, dun,
of the Bells.
Whatever, who cares?
Wow.
It's really, there's your next project. Hark to the bells, carol of the bells, something of the bells, fruit of the bells, red yeah. of the bells, blue
exactly.
of the bells, white of the bells, yellow of the bells, cherry yeah. of the bells, and bed of the bells, and refrigerator of the bells, and apple of the bells, oranges of the bells, and lemon of the bells.
Very hard to die.
That song is hard to die.
So that song's hard to die. Hark, yeah, carol hark of the bells.
Hark of the bells.
I mean, it is one of the words in the song, you know, so you nailed it in a way. It's just,
is that, I don't remember that song. I just
hark
like
how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away. Christmas is here, bringing a cheer to young and old, meek and the bold. Ding
bing,
dong, that
bong,
is our song.
Bing,
with joyful ring, all bong, caroling. Exactly.
Bing, bong, bing, bong. That's it, because it's the spookiest, like in the round, you know, most Philip Glass of all of them, you know.
It is the almost, most conceptual of all Christmas.
It's the most Steve Reich and just Anna de Kirsmacher out there spinning around making a snowflake.
I really hope that's her digital offering for Christmas. She's the minimalist dance to Carol of the Bells.
She makes a snowflake for the end. It's so good. Like, what is she making in that white plastic snow? Oh, it's a snowflake. I love it.
Snowflake. Wow. It's really good.
Oh, my God.
The Anna Teresa de Kirsmacher Nutcracker. It's good.
Oh, my God. And it's just Carol of the Bells and her making a snowflake. Better work.
Better work.
What's
wow,
yours?
I do like Oh Holy Night when sung by like an incredible singer. It's really impressive.
Oh Holy Night. Like that? Here, let me try to sing it really well. Oh Holy Night.
Yes.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth.
Did I ever tell you how once when I was dancing in Columbus, Ohio, Tiffany Aubin came
Love.
To Columbus, Ohio for Christmas time because her family is there.
And you went to church.
And I went to church with her for
yes,
Christmas service.
You've told me that. And keep going.
And she went up to sing Oh Holy Night with the church choir. And the church choir was so absurdly bad. I was shaking. with laughter. But actually, I was shaking with laughter at the choir before she went up to sing, and she was very mad at me because her family was behind us. But I mean, it was unbelievable. But they were her backup singers, and it was really something I'll never forget.
Did it remind? Did I mean it's like sister act? You know, she like shows up and she's like, I think you guys need to some singing lessons.
And then imagine like incredible. Tiffany Aubin showed up and like sang.
That is crazy.
In front of the sister act choir.
Well, like before they got training, right?
Well, right, right at the very, right. very beginning.
Which is your favorite, sister act or sister act two?
You know, I'd need to revisit them. I'm fond of both. And I think that sister act two is one of those rare situations where the sequel is as good or better than the original.
Totally. Yeah.
But, you know, Kathina Jimmy in the original is, you can't really beat that.
Except her in the sequel.
But she doesn't have as much of a part in the sequel, unfortunately. Because so much attention is given to, you know, Lauryn Hill and
incredible.
That strange what? Actress who also played Judge Jeanine Pirro in Bombshell.
Is Judge Jeanine Pirro the one who goes around being like, we've got to support him?
I think so, yeah. And
the woman who like accosts Charlize Theron at the candy machine?
And in the wardrobe room, I think she accosts some Margot Robbie or something. And she's always like being like, wah, 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 wah.
I don't remember her in Sister Act 2, but
she's
I
a redhead
do remember
in Sister Act 2. Redhead.
Jennifer Love Hewitt is yes. in Sister Act 2.
She doesn't seem to do any singing, though, does she?
I don't know. I don't know, but I do know that I did a movie with her. So there you go.
There you have it. She has a nice figure.
She's also wonderful, and she asks to just be called Love, which I think is great.
Nice.
What else is there to say? People, please wear a mask. Do your part. If you see someone not wearing a mask, get a 6-foot stick and hit them with it. 7-foot, a 7-foot stick. And
oh my God, wouldn't it be amazing to if I started making COVID parameter dresses and coats where they just had 6-foot fringe and then you spun in a circle and anywhere the fringe touched, they were too close.
Sure, but I think you need to put like little razor blades at the ends of the fringe
so that there's
a consequence if someone's, you know. And there needs to be more than just them getting like a light brush of fringe.
Or maybe that's the piece. Maybe it's Anna Teresa in a fringe dress with little bells at the end of each 6-foot string. And she's just spinning through the streets of New York hitting people.
I mean, at the beginning of COVID, this queen did put on like a 6-foot hoop skirt and like a 6-foot brimmed hat and like walked through the streets to be like, move.
This is it.
What's that from?
No idea. But I do. It might just be a jingle. But I don't know.
It literally might just be a jingle.
Like for like Pert or Gillette or.
This is it.
Irish Spring. Oh no. Poland Spring. What it means to be from Maine. What is a song for Irish Spring?
Poland Spring is what it means to be from Maine.
Yeah, that was their jingle. I don't know why.
That doesn't make any sense.
Poland Springs is in Maine.
Ugh. Yeah, and this whole time, I thought I was getting water from Poland. What a ripoff. Irish Spring is... I don't know.
I don't know if they have a song.
It's a gross soap. I do not want to smell that soap again.
It's so smelly. It is like
to
the
smell
most
Irish
pungent.
Spring or like Pert Plus.
They're so that weird shade of green and they have such a strong odor.
Well, and it was so like the 80s. Like you just.
Yeah.
It's a real.
The smell of Speed Stick really like brings me back.
Oh my God, honey. Yikes.
I kind of like it though.
I bet.
It was definitely my first deodorant. Did I ever show you that embarrassing story?
I don't know. Did you eat it?
No, I was in like grade 7, I think. And I was on the tour bus with the American Boy Choir School wearing, you know, one of the school issue acrylic red sweaters with the emblem on the left breast. And the proctor, Doug Hybor, came up to me on the bus and he was like, I think it might be time for you to start wearing deodorant.
It's humiliating.
I was...
Did he give you Speed Stick?
I think Speed Stick is what was available to me in the student... like we had a drawer on downstairs that the receptionist would open and let us buy little shampoos and stuff like VO5.
That'll be one nickel.
Totally. It was literally that. This woman was, her name was Cheryl Powers, and she must've been like 65 or 70 years old, but she had like a mane of dyed blonde hair and she would wear minx and she drove this like ivory Mercedes Benz. She was.
Oh my God. I want to see her pulling up to the school full, opening her car door, smoking.
She was like, incredible.
Toss her cigarette into a snowdrift and be like ripping, like pulling her leather gloves off of her hands as she comes in, being like, absolutely. All right, all right, all right, all right.
Incredible. And then she would sell us like strawberry flavored VO5 shampoo and Speed Stick.
That'll be one nickel.
Exactly. And AIM toothpaste.
Ew.
I know.
Totally. I remember... was that toothpaste that was really two-toned and
Mentadent.
No. And it was like
Aquafresh.
I think it was called Aquafresh. Trident.
That's gum.
Strident or Stride.
Aquafresh.
It was Aquafresh was the one that had like a thing of fluoride. Yeah, it was like
getting a twist on the soft serve machine, you know?
Ugh, my God, can you imagine if like you pulled up to Dairy Queen and they're like, do you want an Aquafresh soft serve?
No, but then remember when they really upgraded that concept to the Mentadent? Was that what it was called? Mentadent. And it was like a big pump and you'd push it down and half of it was white and half of it was blue. Jack.
I didn't have it. I'm only laughing I'm only laughing because we've gotten to that place with this podcast where we were talking about toothpaste. And
I'm going to look it
and
up.
And like, I feel dizzy that this is what we're talking about.
Mentadent toothpaste. It was really exceptional for its time.
I feel like I'm losing my mind. Feels like I'm losing my mind.
Let me tell you what.
There were two things I really had to watch on YouTube this past week to calm myself down. I had a couple panic attacks this past week, I calmed myself down by watching Bernadette Peters singing "Losing My Mind." And I also calmed myself down. I was on the phone with Neil and I was talking about Aquariuses, which I am. And I was thinking like, but what kind of Aquarius am I? And I realized that I am like I'm the Venn diagram of two Aquariuses who are David Lynch and Carol Channing. Because I am basically like, look at that black cube spinning in midair.
100%, Jack. Yeah. 100%.
I am absolutely like absurd nightmare kind of musical comedy. And strange choices for sure. And so I had to rewatch Jam Tomorrow, Jam Yesterday.
Oh yeah.
And which is incredible. And I was shooketh at the people who hadn't seen it. And it was so impactful for me as a child. I mean, just also the idea that like, and she's such an Aquarius character. She knows everything that's going to happen in the future. She's like, she's like, ow, I'm bleeding, you know, which she does before she sticks herself on purpose with her pin.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
And then when Alice is like, are you okay? And she's like, she goes, how old are you? And Alice goes, I'm 9 years old or something like that. And she goes, I'm 101. And Alice goes, I can't believe that. And she sits down and she goes, you can't. I was like, that's it. That's it right there. That solidified my personality at like 8 years old when I saw that. I can't believe that. You can't.
Jack, we have 20 seconds left.
Uh-huh. Well, we've talked about toothpaste.
Everybody, listen to Joe Firestone's newly canceled podcast called Everyday Decisions. It's wonderful. We loves you. Please keep listening. Be a patron.
Oh, so you be can a patron. Oh, you know, for Christmas, we have tote bags.
Tote bags, puzzles. Merry Christmas. We still have
puzzles and become a patron.
Send Patreon. Me birthday nudes. We loves you.
And, oh, my God. That's right. DM Jack, Reed.
We loves you.
We loves you.
Hi, Dents and Stuff listeners. This is Margaret Fuhrer. I'm the editor and producer of the Dents Edit podcast. Like you, we love Reed and Jack over at the Dents Edit, and if you get especially excited when they turn into journalists and do reporting, we think you might like our podcast too. The Dents Edit podcast is a weekly Dents news show. It's hosted by me and three other editors from Dents Media. We work on Dents Magazine and Dents Spirit and Point. And every Thursday, we discuss and sometimes yell a little bit about the week's top Dents news stories, and then we interview one of the Dents artists who's shaping the news. And our recent interview guests have actually included a few Dents and Stuff friends. We've had Kyle Abraham, we've had Lloyd Knight. Basically, we've built a nice little nerdy community, and we hope you'll join it. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts and at thedentsedit.com/podcast.